What are you going to present before God on that day? What are you going to present before God? Is it the demons that were cast out you're going to give God? Say, God, no. You must get busy in whatever God has created you for. Amen? Whatever God has created you to do, get involved, get trained, and begin to do it. Amen? Don't just sit down and be critical. People that are critical, they are very low mental and, well, like achievement potentials. People that are critical. Somebody that steps out, you know definitely there are going to be challenges. But you scale through that challenge. With every challenge, you acquire experience and you move further and possess your possession. Amen? God's a good God. So get busy for the Lord. Amen? Get busy. You don't have to preach from a pulpit like pastors do. Make every opportunity a pulpit. You are relating with your neighbor at work. Talk about Jesus. The weather. Talk about Jesus. Oh, the weather is good. Say, well, I thank God we have some warmth. I give God the glory. You can talk about Jesus in everything. Everything. Praise the Lord. So don't tell me there that God didn't call me to be a pastor. No. We that are up here, we have more troubles. Go tell somebody about Jesus. God's a good God. What did I say? Tell somebody about Jesus. Also, let me advise the murmurers. The murmurers. How many murmurers are here? Raise up your hand. You are hiding your hand. If I pray in tongues now, I will come and touch you and bring you out. God hates murmuring. God hates what? Murmuring. Never murmur against God. God's not responsible for your situation. You are probably responsible for your situation because you didn't listen to divine directives. Don't murmur against God. God's not responsible for your situation. Amen? God's a good God. All right, we'll stop there. We are ending our fast. Who can tell me when? Nice. That's next Saturday. Next Saturday will be the 40th day. How many of us were involved in that 40 days without breaking? Raise up. Don't lie now. Don't try and impress me. You're wasting your life if you do. If you are supposed to fast, if you fasted at all, raise up your hand. Okay, very good. Hands down. If you fasted till 2 o'clock, put down your hand. It's okay. I'm just joking. Please, even if you didn't participate, we still have about 1 week or so more. Join. Amen? Join the bad wagon and grab your blessings. The Lord spoke to me last year that when we do this 40 days fast, it is total freedom. Total what? Freedom. Total freedom. Total freedom. When you are free, don't go back to doing the things you used to do. What will happen? The demons will come back. It's like you were cured of an ailment, a disease or whatever. They didn't wash your hand properly. What will happen to you? There'll be the nurse is here. What they call reinfection? To be reinfection. That's what happens. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12, 43 to 45. He says, when these rubbish are flushed out, they move around. They go to the dry places to stay. And when they are feeling pressed, they say, let me check my house. They come back to see the word of God is not there. Prayer and fast is not there. Honesty is not there. Oprah Winfrey is there. Jerry Stanga is there. Which are their neighbors. What did they do? Say, ha ha. They go and get, one demon will get how many? Seven. So out of, former one will become how many? Eight. You can imagine 10 demons were cast out. So it will be how many? 80 plus 10. Wow. I don't want to come near such people. So when you have been set free, read the Bible. Amen. Pray. Do the much you can. And the Lord will sustain you. Maintenance is very important. Maintenance. People from Africa, they don't maintain their roads. Go to Africa, they spend millions to make the road. You have holes. But thank God here, all the roads are maintained. Maintain your deliverance life like road is being maintained here. Amen. Pay your token every day. You pass through the turnpike. You pass through the toll gate. How much do you pay? $1.25. Those are the fasts you do. The praying in tongues, the loving. If you go very far into a turnpike, you pay $2.50. Others are the maintenance fee. Read your Bible, fast, read the books, go to church. You understand what I'm saying? People offend you, forgive. You won't feel it. When you are paying your 25 cents in the toll, do you feel it? You must say, ah, it's now $1. They used to pay 25 cents. You just pay the $1 Friday. That's the maintenance fee you need for your deliverance. Reading your Bible, praying, loving God, giving your offering, forgiving one another, amen? Telling the truth, walking in integrity. All these are the maintenance fee. God's a good God. If you wait for your situation to become like the road in my town, Benin City, you are in the road, the car is shaking, everybody is shaking. Thank God our nose and our body are glued to our body, they would have fallen off. So when you maintain it, your life will be steady. It will be the same all the time. Amen? That's a good God. Let's take this song. Let's see. Which song now? God help me. We're going to be finished. A good God. Okay, let's go to what we have for today. We are on lesson 2 of our reaching our friends and neighbors for Christ. Everybody in this church, you are qualified to be a pastor. I've put so much upon you. If you have been in this ministry for at least 1 year, you are qualified to be a minister. So it's time for us to go out there and reach out. Okay, I'll put there as a lesson two. The exclusive claim of Christianity. Why Christians claim Jesus is the only one. Supposing you want to talk to somebody. You want to preach to somebody. Say, are you sure? Jesus is the only way. There's Buddha. There's Muhammad. There's Hare Krishna. How come? You know, with these scriptures, you'll be able to deal with them. I have there, I say, when we say that Jesus is the way, what do we mean? Everybody, you have a sheet? You have a copy? If you don't have a copy, raise up your hand. Quickly, quickly, ushers. Raise up your hand. Please give everybody a copy. We have more than enough for everyone. Please, these materials, save them. What did I say? Save them. You are going to have about 12 of them. Hopefully about 12. If Jesus doesn't come before that time. Yeah, give everybody. Boy, old, young, strong, give them. Sometimes these younger boys, they perform better than the older people. If you, everybody, I want to wave it. Let me see to your hand. Wave it. Okay, praise the Lord. Good. Okay, let's continue. I'm going to be very fast for the sake of time. It says, what is the claim? When we say that Jesus is the way, what do we mean? Use the following references to come up with at least four possibilities. I have the John chapter 3, verse 16. Don't just worry, just listen. Amen. Just listen. Keep your Bible. Just listen. You already have this. No notes. Just listen. Is that clear? I made it easy for you. I said, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I now ask the question, why, when you say that Jesus is the way, what do you mean? You looking at that passage, whoever believes in him will not what? Perish. That is one reason why we say Jesus is the way. There is no one who gives his life to Jesus. You stay put. You genuinely continue him. There's no one who gives his life to Jesus genuinely that will not make heaven. Amen? So you tell them Jesus is the only way to God. Then John chapter 14, verse 2 to 3 says, in my Father's house are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Why you can tell them that Jesus is the way, is it that? He left, just like he said. The Bible said he will come. He came. And he left, and he said he will come again. The fact that the Bible says he will come, and he came, and now he left and says he will come again, that assures me that he is the way, he's going to come back. Amen? And when he comes back, he's not just coming to ask you and I to pay PSC and G or pay mortgage. No. He's going to take us to heaven. Mansion already prepared, paid for by his blood. Amen? That's one reason why we say Jesus is the way. Because there's assurance in him. Anyone who gives his life to Jesus can never perish. Hallelujah. Listen, when you talk to people about Jesus, don't be worried whether they receive the word of God. Don't be worried about what they are going to say. Because you cannot convert anybody. It's the Holy Ghost that converts people. Amen? But we are the mouth of God. You say it, the Holy Ghost will confirm it. Because the Bible says when the Holy Ghost comes, he will do what? He will do the word, three things. He will convict them, he will judge them. He will condemn them of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. It will judge people of sin. It will tell them of judgment to come. And it will tell them about the righteousness of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know there are some of you here. The Lord has been telling you, come. And one day maybe you had a dream. Coo-coo-doo! Everybody was going to heaven, you remained. Or something happened, you saw yourself in hellfire. And all the Holy Ghost can do anything to get you. Okay. The next one is Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to 47. He says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So, only in Jesus can you have repentance. Amen? You cannot repent in the name of Muhammad or Buddha or Hare Krishna. You can only come to God and tell God, I'm sorry. Please wash away my sin with the blood of Jesus. Only those who repent in the name of Jesus is acceptable to God. Amen? Amen. Did you catch that? I put that when they say, you say, when we say that Jesus is the way, what do you mean? You mean that Jesus is the only way to God. And if you repent of your sin in the name of Jesus, God will forgive you your sins no matter how heinous, and he will accept you as his child. Amen? When they say, oh, how do you know Jesus is the way? Jesus, the Bible said he will come. He came. Now he died. He rose again. Now he's gone back. If he could come like he said he would come, and then he promised to say he will come back, Jesus is the only way. Hallelujah. Did you catch that? Amen? Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Only the blood of Jesus can work for you. You can buy a cow and kill it and take it to church. We will eat the meat. Nothing will happen. Only the blood of Jesus will do what? Work for you. Amen? 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. It says, In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation there means, let me put it simply, Jesus came to make the difference between we getting to God and God reaching to us. Jesus came to appease. He came to silence the anger, the voice of God. Jesus came to silence the wrath of God that would have come upon humanity. He came as a propitiator. Hallelujah. Jesus came to make peace for man. Jesus came to make peace for our sin. Amen? But Muhammad didn't come. Buddha didn't come. Hare Krishna didn't come. Santa Rita didn't come. Only Jesus came to make peace with God on our behalf. That even when we were yet sinners, God started pursuing us until we'll eventually give our lives to Christ. Amen? Are you catching this? So when you begin to talk to people about Jesus, you don't need to talk too much. Just say a little, as the Holy Ghost will put in your mouth. The Holy Ghost will conclude the remaining part. God's a good God. I remember when we were in secondary school, I think it was in class 4, and something was happening in the class. I think a riot was about happening, and they were able to quell it, and they wanted to deal with the people. My vice principal pointed me out. He said, no, Jacob, I know you cannot be there. Leave the class. Really, I wasn't there. What am I trying to say? God knows how to set you free. Amen? A lot of people were kicked out of school. A lot of people went to cut grass for 2 weeks. And so on and so forth. What am I trying to say? When you begin to open your mouth to speak, the devil knows whether you are real or not. Amen? Sometimes, don't be upset or feel incapable to speak to people who you used to do the same evil with. You understand? You nearly gave your life to Christ. They started laughing at you. You? You? We shall say, I give you 2 weeks. And thank God, 20 years today, you are still a Christian. Don't allow people cajole you. Amen? Don't allow people use their word. You, preacher? You? Maybe your former boyfriend. You bad man. Whatever you did before. You bad girl. You now are preaching on the street. You saw the man you did bad things with. And your face want to go down. Don't be ashamed. Tell them my life has changed. Amen? Once I was lost, now found. Hey, you want to join me? Praise the Lord. John chapter 1 verse 18. It says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has seen him, has declared him. Amen? Only Jesus, until Jesus came from heaven to tell us about heaven. Nobody, no entity, no creature knew about heaven. Moses did not know about heaven. Did you hear me? Daniel and all those people in the Old Testament, they never knew about heaven until Jesus came to begin to declare to us. Hallelujah. So, Jesus came to declare heaven to us. And today, there are a lot of evidences. Go to YouTube. Experience after death. You will see it, both Christians and non-Christians. What they saw, how God rescued them, giving them a second chance. Is this clear to us? How Jesus will appear to Muslims in their dream, and suddenly they become Christians. There's one particular one I watched, my wife and I. This man was a good Buddhist, good Buddhist. He died, young man. And when he got to heaven, when he got to the spiritual world, he saw two gates. He saw two doors. I mean, it's two road, whatever you call it. Two blocks. Now, he saw two men going along one block, straight and open. So he started trying to pursue them. The more he runs, he was never able to get to them. And he looked further. He saw somebody stabbing those two men with knives. He said, no, I won't go that road. He now came back and saw the other narrow, windy road. He started following it. The road was windy. As he was going, suddenly, the road became gold. And as he kept going, curious, and then he met a man with a bunch of keys as the gate of heaven. Then the man said, who are you? And inquired. And he said, do you know Jesus? He said, who is Jesus? That mock man never heard anything about Jesus. Guess who we met at the gates of heaven? Peter with a bunch of keys. Jesus Christ said, you are Peter. Upon your name, upon this, will I do what? This rock will I do? Build my church. He says, I'll give it. The gates of heaven will not prevail against it. He said, whoever you open for shall be what? Open for. So Peter said, no, now go back. Go and tell all those your mock people about Jesus. And he came back into his body. They were almost cremating him. What cremating? Almost burning him. You know when? And they just opened it for the last time. He was already stinking. They poured all their libation on it. And suddenly he got up with all those liquid. And everybody there ran for their dear life. Oh, only the mother. Thank God for mother. The mother stood by and grabbed the boy. And the boy now started saying, all these Buddhists, all they are lies. Jesus is real. Jesus is the real thing. Today, that guy is a big preacher man. Hallelujah. What am I trying to say? God is an honest God. Those who did not genuinely hear about Jesus, God will give them a second chance. Even those who have heard, God could, maybe, hallelujah, the word that you hear will set you free. God's a good God. God's a good God. So Jesus came to reveal God to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling himself to Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It says, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Amen. So now we have been saved. We are born again. God is now speaking through us to reach people. God sent Jesus, spoke through Jesus to humanity. Now we are reconciled. Jesus is now speaking through us to the world. Amen. We are who? Ambassadors. Ambassadors of who? Christ. Not UN. Ambassadors of Christ. Amen. With power and authority to set free. Listen. If you're an ambassador for Christ and God sends you anywhere, wherever God sends you to, that authority there must bow. Did you hear me? If God sends you, there's no place God has ever sent me to that the demons have not bowed. I remember when I was going to marry my beautiful wife. Thank God for her. It was, you know, I had no money in my pocket, no money to buy a wedding dress, no money to buy anything. I was at home. God told me, get up, go to one village. God, what is it? It was so strong. So I packed my loads and I went into the vehicle and I got there. The Lord told me, ask for the church, so-and-so church. I got there. I started asking from time to time. They directed me to one teacher. The teacher said, oh, the pastor of the church left about a week ago. We don't know where he went. So the Lord told me, follow him. The man went there, opened the pastor's one room for me, and that became my room for 1 week. That 1 week, the Lord told me, that very evening, the Lord told me, organize a crusade. And now the teacher was so encouraging. He rallied around, brought some people, and then they gave me their school bell. You know the school bell? And then one boy, God is so good, he organized a broad lamp. You know? So I took the bell, and the boy took the lamp in the front because he knows the village. Pagan, Jesus is Lord. Pagan, give your life to Jesus. We did that for 1 night. And I told them, we're going to be having service morning and evening. Guess what? That very evening, the church was full. Then, in the following morning, the church was full. In the evening again, we took the bag. Bam! People started bringing their idols. You hear what I'm saying? They brought their idols. We threw them away, burnt them. And there was revival in that little village. Revival. A lot of people get their life to Christ. They say, oh, we want you to be our pastor. I said, not me. I'm going to get married very soon. No. Probably God is using it to deal with me. I did that job so wonderfully. A lot of people gave their lives to Christ. And on Sunday, I had the last service, and I was gone. What am I trying to say here? Ask my wife. She will tell you about the detail. What I'm trying to say here, when God sends you anywhere, all authority there must bow. Did you hear me? Because it goes before you. It goes what? Before you. You now become his mouthpiece. So when God directs you to speak to your boss, your junior worker, any person, the one that does your hair, that does your clothes, don't keep your mouth shut. Just say the word without pressure and leave it there. Amen? Just say the word without what? Pressure and leave it there. A couple of years ago, we gave a tract to a lady. This lady didn't respond. After 2 years, according to her, after 2 years, she brought out that tract and found the church and came here. She told me, this is a tract you gave me about 2 years ago. And I just left it in the back there. And she came, she had her deliverance, and God set her free. So God's word can never be wasted. Amen? God's a good God. Let's continue. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholded all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise the Lord. God, Jesus, upholds all things by the word of his power. By the word of his word, power. By the word of his word, power. That means God's word has power. He sustains everything by his word. Amen? Once he says it, it happens. No competition, no opposition, no resistance. All resistance wants to what? Bow. He sustains you. He keeps you. So by that same word, he's sending you and I into the world to tell people about him. Hallelujah. Amen? You don't need to be highly educated. You don't need to be eloquent. You don't have to be a PhD, zoo. It's not necessary. I'm not saying don't have it because I have. I don't want to discourage you from going further. But the truth is, only the anointing in the word will set any person free, including you. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's a good God. Including your children, preach to them. It sometimes happens that our children, they are deaf to our instruction. They will listen to other people, they will not listen to us. But after the devil have pinched them and pinched, they will eventually say, oh, my father says so, my mother says so. What I'm trying to say is it, your children, don't be discouraged. Tell them about Jesus. Amen? Every good preacher, every parent, father, mother who's a good preacher, because you have opened your mouth to tell your children about Jesus, that will begin to make you behave well. You know that? If you were in my house, Isaac would have proved that. I remember one day when she was young, a phone call came in. Then the person said, daddy, they want to speak to you. I said, tell, I'm not available. He said, oh, my daddy says He's not available. So Isaac dropped the phone. Then she went upstairs. Then she ran and said, Daddy, you just said a pastor, you just said a lie. That's exactly what she said. Say, Daddy, pastor, you just said a lie. I said, how? He said, you say you're not available. I said, yes, I'm not available. He said, but you're here. And I sat down. When she was young, and I sat down and explained to her. I said, listen, do you have $1 in your pocket? He said, yes. If I say give it to me, will you give it to me? He said, no, I won't give it to you. I said, but you have $1. He said, yes. I said, what's happening? But you have it. He said, yes. But the money's not available. He said, yes. I said, why? He said, yeah, I want to. Yes, you gave it to me. I want to. I said, but the money's yours, isn't it? So I now explained to her, though I am there, I am not available to give attention or assist that person. It's okay, I get it. Okay. And she went upstairs. Praise the Lord. If you begin to preach the gospel, it will improve in the quality in your home. Amen? It will begin, the word that you preach will begin to judge you. It will begin to judge you. And it will make you a better person. Is this clear? You cannot preach A and then you're going to be doing B. Like some of you here, when you get home, go and use Gary to wash your mouth. You lie in the presence of your children. Eh? Tell him I'm not here. Oh, mommy's not here. And then your child learns to lie. Don't you know you are the mirror with which children use in looking at life? The way you behave, they are eventually going to copy some of it. It's very important. Is that how you are going to preach the gospel about Jesus? I have seen parents, children challenging their father and their mother. You call yourself a pastor. You call yourself a preacher. Look at you. You preacher, look at what you just said. Hallelujah. As you preach the word will also judge you, but will make you a better person. Amen? Because when you hear what is coming back to you, you now take it and use it to moderate your life. God's a good God. So we're talking about what will people say if they say Jesus is the way? How can you lay claim to that? How can you prove it? That's what we're trying to point out. Let me go for the sake of time. I'll go to John. John 10:10. The Bible says, Satan comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has come to do what? To give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. So, only Jesus can give abundant life. You cannot give out what you don't have. Jesus is life himself. And if you dwell in him, the life of God will begin to do what? Flow through you. Amen? God's a good God. God's a good God. God is a good God. Also, if you look at Philippians chapter 4, let's just go to 13. It says, I can do all things through who? Through Buddha that strengthens you? Through anger that strengthens you? Through who? Through Christ. One of my mentors, when he was young, about the age of 15, 16 or so, he said he had tuberculosis. And he was in a secondary school. And he would be coughing and uncomfortable. He said, after reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he looked at it. He went behind the dormitory. Well, you don't know what dormitory, hostel. And there was a little stone there. He said he stood on top of the stone and said, I have read about all this in the Bible. If you are God, prove yourself now, or else. And God is a very interesting God. God healed him of that tuberculosis. God will honor the word no matter how you say it, so long as you do it with honesty. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Who makes the claim? Let's go to the other one. Is that in your paper there? Okay. I say, look up the following references and source. I just go to first one there. John, who makes this claim? I say, John chapter 14 verse 16 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the claim Jesus makes, has made, and keeps making, and that is honest, that you have experienced, is that Jesus is the only way to God. You don't need to argue. You say, how can there be only one way? What of Muhammad? What of Buddha? What of Hare Krishna? What of Santa Rica? What of the voodoo in my village? When the man speaks, fire comes out. What of that? Don't argue. Just tell them, the Bible says, Jesus is the only way to God. Don't argue. Is that clear? Just say it as it is and leave it that way. God's a good God. You don't argue for God. God is big enough. When you are gone, the Holy Ghost will press that heart. Oh! Then what will happen? Conviction will come. Little by little, the person will yield. Amen? You remember Gideon? When God visited Gideon and wanted to lift him up for him to become a warrior to wipe the Syrians and all those attacking? And God told him, take the bull, the Baal, the community, the father was the high priest of the village. God told him to destroy that place, take the wood, use it to make fire. And he was afraid of doing it. He did it during the night. And by the time people woke up, the town shrine, their god, was gone. And the father, it was Gideon. They said, bring out Gideon, let's kill him. Oh, he destroyed our village idol, let's kill him. So his father, who was the high priest, said, oh, no, hold it. If Baal is God, let him fight for himself. Why are you fighting for him? Let him fight for himself. Amen? God will always prove you in the name of Jesus. No matter what, God will always prove you and bring shame to your enemies. Hallelujah. Also, the more you begin to preach the gospel, the more the power of God comes around your life. The more the angels are activated to meet your needs. Is that clear? God's primary objective, primary goal is that we should win souls. As we begin to tell people, as we begin to step out in faith, I'm not saying, in every little way you do it, the angels of God, the anointing of God, the glory of God, the power of God will come upon you. But Satan will also try to put pressure. But the Holy Ghost will guide you on how to pray, what to do to avoid his challenges. Amen? Because anytime you try to move forward, Satan will try to oppose it. John chapter 5 verse 39 to 40 says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. If you search, tell the people to read the Bible. Is that clear? Ask them, do they believe the Bible? They say, well, there's controversy in the Bible. Well, there's contradiction. That's what some people will always say. People who say that, it means they don't really have the Holy Ghost in them. Amen? Because actually, when you pick up this Bible to read, it's not that easy. That's the way God has made it. But when the light of God comes upon you, then whatever you read, whatever passage you pick up, divine illumination will begin to come. Amen? Amen. Tell that person, the Bible is the most highest selling book. All other books, they are written, they become outdated. No matter how useful science books are, after about 5-10 years, they are already replaced. Is this clear to us? But God, the word of God cannot be improved on. It's original. God's a good God. God is a good God. God is a good God. Your God is a good God. Your God is a good God. Let's go to what is the real issue as we begin to round up. Please, I left out a whole lot. I want you to settle down this week. Take your Bible and read it out. Amen. So that you understand what is there. What is the real issue? I say, how do different religions of the world view God? How do they view God? When any bad thing happens, they say, well, oh God, why did you allow this bad thing happen to me? Did that happen to you? Have you heard people say that? Or whenever something happens, the insurance will say what? What does the insurance say? The act of God. Is it God that made it? The tsunami and the destruction? Is it God that commanded it to happen? No. When there is sin and there is blood on the land, the voice of the earth will cry out and destruction will begin to happen. God told the Israelites as they were going to the promised land, he said, listen, don't shed innocent blood so that destruction will not come. Is this clear to us? With the sniping, killing, all that is happening, the earth is angry. The earth, God didn't make this earth to suck blood. And once blood lands on it, eggs get angry. You remember Abel, Cain and Abel? What happened to Abel? Abel's blood. God heard in heaven because the blood of that young man was screaming for vengeance. Anytime people are killed or whatever, the earth gets angry and more atrocities happen. So it's very, very important. It's very important that God, so all other gods, our God is a quiet God is also a terrible God. Our God doesn't get angry too easily. Is that not so? And when he gets angry, there's always no solution, no way out. Amen? So how can all... How do different religion of the world view God. The major difference between our God and their gods is that our God forgives. Amen? The God of the Muslim does not forgive. You know that? The God of the Muslim does not what? A brother can kill a sister for holiness. Brother and sister, they are living together, and the sister goes to fornicate or do something outside, and they want the sister, the brother can take a knife and do a holy killing. You've never heard about it? Where are you? Are you in this world? Did you know of the one that happened about 3 or 4 years ago in New York? This girl was dating, whatever date means, stupid things. He was dating. What does date mean? Thank God I'm above that. He was dating. They told her, don't date. Then one night, the father and mother just waited for her. The father had a sharp knife. So as soon as the door was open, the girl suspected something. There was as she opened the door, the mother grabbed her. But with the struggle, quickly she was able to dial 911. But as she was squeezing, the mother said, no, just die quietly. And the father took a knife. So can you imagine killing your own daughter? And they will say, Allah will bless me for that because you have helped God to eliminate one thing. The God, all of that God, they are revengeful. They are hateful. Our God is loving. No matter what you have done, he will do what? Forgive you your sins. And once he washes away your sins, he will see you as if you have never sinned. As the east far from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. That's one major difference between our God and all other gods. Amen? Another major difference again. Our God can check out their gods. What I mean by check out, can deliver. In the name of Jesus, can wipe away, can check all other gods out of other people's lives. Amen? The blood of Jesus avails a lot. It lasts forever. The blood of Jesus is forever. Nothing can weaken it. Because that blood was sinless. Amen? That blood was sinless. And it's still speaking for us today in the presence of God. When God gets angry, the blood of Jesus says, look, I died for them. And as Jesus prays, God gives more grace to humanity so that more souls can be saved. Amen? Okay, I put that, say, for example, say, how can all paths lead to God when the gods at the end of each religion path is so different? Some people say, it doesn't matter which God you say, all gods lead, every way lead toward God. You know, whether you serve Buddha, whether you serve Muhammad, we're all serving the same God. Is that true? No. Allah, we're all serving, is that true? No. Allah is an idol. Allah is the idol that Muhammad used to serve before he God in contact with the disciples of Christianity. Allah is their God. So as soon as it got converted, that Allah became their own G-O-D. Allah is not G-O-D for us. Is this clear to us? Amen? That's a good God. But you don't do any argument. Don't argue. Just say that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says, if you will accept him, he will wipe away your sins. Muslims don't believe in forgiving of sin. If you kill me, I kill you. You touch me, I touch you. If I can't touch you, I go and strap myself with all chemicals and just come near you and blow myself and blow you. Because when I get to heaven, they give me 12 virgins. God's a good God. Okay, finally. So really, why do people reject Jesus? Why do they reject Jesus? Many reasons. I put here, I say, John chapter 7, 40 to 43. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Why do people reject Jesus? Because of confusion. Is that clear? Jesus was born where? Where was he born? In Newark. Where was he born? Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem, but where was he raised? In Galilee. Is that clear? So they expected Jesus to be born in Galilee, in Bethlehem, and live in Bethlehem. But he was born in Bethlehem and was what? Raised in Galilee. And because he was raised in Galilee, he became a native of Galilee. I love that man of Galilee. You never say, I love that man of Bethlehem. Is that clear? God is a master designer. Amen? God's a good God. So confusion makes people to reject Jesus. Then I say, John chapter 12, verse 42 to 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. So why do people reject Jesus? Fear. Is that clear? Fear. Oh, you want to be called as one of those people? You know, I remember in those days when we were in high school, those of us who were SU were very crazy about it. So some of new people, when it's time for SU services, they come. But when we are in the general school, they don't join us. But when it's time for service, shame. What will people say? Oh, you go to that church? You still go to that church? John chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. People reject Jesus because of what they do. Amen? They don't want their sin to be found out. Let's stand on our feet. So today, we've gone over most of the questions that any person can ask you when you begin to tell them about Jesus. Amen? Also, when you begin to tell people about Jesus and they are asking questions you don't understand, just tell them honestly, I don't understand this. I don't have an answer yet. Can I come back to you? I'm going to study, or I'm going to ask my boss. I'm going to ask the pastor. Is this clear to us? Be honest and be sincere about it at all times. God's a good God. God is a good God. Even some of your neighbors, as the house fellowship grows, they might ask you certain questions. Oh, you are now asking us to come to you. When that thing happened that day, why did you do what you did? You tell the person, listen, we grow from grace to grace every day. Now, then, I didn't know as much as I know now. I thank God, God has forgiven me. Is that clear? You know what I'm talking about? Your neighbor drives the car and come and park in your front, in front of your house. You now walk over and say, hey, lady, that's where I want to park my car. Can you move, please? Thank you. You just walk away with anger. Boom, 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 boom. And then tomorrow you are going to say, hey, Jesus loves you. The woman will be confused. Is that not so? Don't worry about it. You meet them and they ask, say, listen, we grow every day. Is that clear? We grow every day. You know, don't worry. You can park your car here now. If there's no space in your house, look, we can push some of our car in the driveway. You can put your car there. Is this clear to us? Lift up those hands. Father, I cover these hands. I cover everyone here with the blood of Jesus. Satan, you will not succeed to take away these words from their lives. Lord, I prophesy and say these words, they are falling on fertile grounds, and they shall produce. Father, I pray, oh God, as anyone here, everyone here, opens their mouth to begin to tell others about Jesus, Lord, let your anointing come upon them in the name of Jesus. Lord, confirm your word from their mouth. Honor your word in their mouth, oh God. We bless you, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly break bread. So as we begin to train for the house fellowship, I encourage you to take it very seriously. Because when you stand before God, what are you going to present before him that day? What are you going to present before God? Are you only going to tell God that I paid my tithe? That's the simplest thing to do. You must not go empty-handed. You must not go empty-handed in the presence of God. You must tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Everybody stretch your hands here. Put down your hand. Father, I cover this drink and this bread with the blood of Jesus. Holy Ghost, I ask that you will change it into the blood and the body of Jesus now. Lord, as we eat it, as we drink it, it shall bring healing to our soul. Lord, it will bring deliverance. Lord, it will bring restoration. Father, it will bring strength. Father, anyone that is barren here, that is trusting God for a baby, Lord, shall bring healing and fertilization in their bodies. Amen. Lord, as children also take it, Lord, shall remove insubordination and rebellion. Anyone that is witchcraft possessed or manipulated, For as they eat the body of Jesus and drink his blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant will destroy the influence of the enemy over their lives. Over their lives, over their homes, over their marriages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are three people here. You have somebody that is sick. Be smart enough. Take a piece of bread and drink. Take it home and give it to them. Okay? Three people here. Somebody sick in your family or your friend. Did you hear me? Take it home and give to your whoever that person is, and they'll be healing. As they pass it around, you can take extra. Is that clear? Take extra for somebody that is sick. I wish there was time I would have given us testimonies about all God is doing in the phone line. Amen. You see, everybody here, you don't have problem. I'm looking for people that have problem to minister to. Thank God they come on the phone line. Amen. Souls are being delivered. A woman coming from Oklahoma. That day, the Lord said, there's a lady wearing the yellow dress that the heart is racing. Boom, 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 boom. Thank God. God touched that lady. She sent me a text to say she was healed. And later I called her up and I was so glad. Another person, one day the Lord told me that there are two men here who have prison issue. And Lord is intervening for you. The mother of one of those persons sent me a text. After also speaking to me, said, my son would have been sentenced for 20 years imprisonment. Guess what? They reduced it to 1 year of probation and that the child should pay $1,000. Isn't that wonderful? There are cases of healing and restoration. People with issue of blood, God touching them. It's so wonderful. So I encourage you, invite people to come on the phone line. The times have changed. Amen? You know, now that the phone is there, thank God, the phone calls I get at home has cut down, which is good for me. Praise the Lord. So please, pass the phone line on to a whole lot of people. A lady, the very first time we started early, from Canada, after I've prayed, we've ministered, she woke up the following day and she was feeling joyful and happy. She was confused. So she picked up the phone and called and said, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. I'm feeling so happy. I said, you just got born again. The Holy Ghost has just shared the love of God abroad in your heart. Romans 5:5. Praise the Lord. A whole lot of miracle. And we give him all the honor and all the glory. I am not responsible. God is responsible. And we're still trusting God for more breakthroughs. Amen? It's a good God. Begin to confess your sins before the Lord. Tell the Lord you are sorry for all the bad things you have done. Father, we bless you. We worship you, God. Tell God you are sorry for all the bad things you have done. Ask him to forgive you. In Jesus' name. Father, we bless you, we worship you. We give you honor, we give you glory. We give you majesty, we give you adoration in the name of Jesus. And when he has given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whosoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lamb. Father, I ask, as we partake of this very exercise, Lord, I declare healing in our spirit, in our soul, and our body. I declare every incurable disease, Lord, beginning from headache, mental infirmity, barrenness, cancer, liver, whatever the issue, sugar problems, hypertension, Lord, they are all healed and restored now. In Jesus' name.